I'm Sharissa Elliott. You're listening to Shore Sides, a local news podcast by and for Carteret County, North Carolina, serving the coastal region and beyond. As another COVID-19 winter surges, four mental health professionals provide us with insights into handling the emotional challenges of this moment. First, we ask if they have advice for you, their neighbors. We ask them to think of it as a mental health love letter to you. We start off with Taisha Teal in Beaufort.
Just know that there's power in taking care of yourself. There is power in saying, I need help. That is where strength lies. We have just been told the wrong thing, that it's weak of us to ask for help. That's not the truth. The truth is that you are such a strong person to look within and say, I am not okay here. I'm doing great over here. But right here, this is a heart issue. This is a mental health issue, whatever it is that I need to work on, and I need someone to help me. That's so much strength in that, because you know yourself. And then when you deal with you, you can deal with anyone else.
Here's friend Sean Francis in Wilmington.
The best antidepressant is connection. And connection can happen in one of two ways: connection to yourself or connection to others. You get to determine which one you want to do. So you have to start by realizing that it's not, you have to connect. You can't just be, right? Like, you can't just be. You got to connect. So either you're going to do something to connect to yourself. So that could be a rainbow walk. Or you can do something to connect to others, and that could be a Zoom call. It could be a porch visit. Like, you don't actually have to touch the person. It could be going to the park. It could be petting a dog. Like, you have to move, and you have to intentionally look for people, places, and things that you want to connect to. Because that brings your soul alive. And what happens is we're all trying to connect to things that hurt our soul. And then we wonder why we feel like crap. And we're inundated with all of these messages that we're not enough and that we're broken and there's something wrong with us. And that is unbelievably inaccurate. There is nothing wrong with us. We are not broken. We actually are amazing beings. And really all we need is connection to self and others.
And lastly, here's Kim Morris in Moorhead City.
You can't go through water without getting wet. You can't experience suffering and loss without being affected. How can we, during these zany times, armor ourselves so we can continue to care for others? In the words of Glennon Doyle, we can do hard things. We are not created to exist alone. We are born in and hardwired for connection to ourselves, to others, and to things that are bigger than us. Doyle reminds us to do five simple things. Show up, be brave, be kind, rest, and try again. Pema Chodron, Buddhist teacher, in her book titled When Things Fall Apart, she nudges us in such an eloquent way. She reminds us about the essential ingredients of suffering, hope, and healing. Things falling apart is kind of a testing and also a kind of healing. We think that the point is to pass the test or overcome the problem. But the truth is, things really don't get solved. They come together and they fall apart. Then they come together and they fall apart again. It's just like that. The healing comes from letting there be room for all of this to happen. Room for grief, room for relief, for misery, for joy. Letting there be room for not knowing is the most important thing of all. Yes, things are falling apart, but I believe they're also coming together. We will heal together. I know you can do it. One daring, loving gesture at a time. Time by the sea, walking daily with my dog, water, drinking my coffee when it's hot. That's what keeps me going. time alone, calls to my mom, dinner with my family watching silly boat ramp videos. Grace, lots of grace, keeps me going. So to my community, to Carteret County, to all of those who care for others, take time to make a plan for keeping going. You matter. I love you. I love you dearly, fiercely, and unconditionally. I'm thanking and praying for you. Let's show up, be brave, be kind, rest, and try again. Kim.
Okay, guys, I'm not crying. You are. This is Sharissa, your host. Next, we are talking with Taisha and friend Sean about how the mental health crisis is playing out in our home and what we can all do about it.
I just see these headlines like mental health crisis, depression is super high, or anxiety super high, or, you know, whatever. I would not phrase it that way. What I would say is there is a severe, unhealthy culture that existed in this country, and now it is significantly worse because of the pandemic. Because there were all these mental health issues before, just like there was racism before. Like, we were doing all of these things before March 2020. Grief and loss is significantly increased because of the pandemic, because people are dying at a higher rate than what they normally die at. So that does have an impact on people's mental health. I think the economy is in a really unstable place, and I think it's making a lot of anxious people that were already anxious and very power focused more upset. The thing that I really think about as a trauma specialist is I'm thinking about like hurricanes. So, you know, like we're not new to trauma. And the problem with that is that we were already exhausted before the pandemic. And by we, I mean my region. There's this attitude, like there's very much a bootstrap attitude around these parts of all kinds of different ethnicities. And that attitude is very dangerous when the message is you need to mask up. You need to, if you're not feeling well, you need to stay home. Like, and then there's this other like core belief that a lot of people have, like, I have to work. I have to be exhausted. I have to pay bills.
Taisha echoed Frenchon's sentiment.
This crisis has been building because we have stigmatized mental health needs, because we have swept it under a rug and say, you know, as long as you push through and, you know, be that man or be that woman and get it all done, you're fine. And when people really weren't fine. And so, yeah, there's a crisis, but it can be turned around when we acknowledge the needs and then address them.
Taisha also pointed out that for a lot of people in our home, an area where folks are working in jobs that make it tough to take time off, it's often hard to obtain or maintain treatment because of costs or work schedules or just limited availability with therapists.
We're in a rural area, so having the ability to even log on because you don't have good, you know, access to internet makes it hard for them to do telehealth.
We asked Taisha what she thought the biggest misconception about mental health is around here.
A lot of people have the misconception that stress, and a lot of it, is really good for you. You know, if you're stressed, then, you know, you're doing a good job. You got to be under stress and under pressure. It produces great things. You do all these. And listen, yes, sometimes, but when you're on level 99 all the time, you're going to burn yourself out. You're going to wear yourself out. You're going to be tired. You're going to be upset. And then, great, your project turned out wonderful, but in the interim, you've destroyed your relationship with your family. The problem is that stress is good in some forms, in small increments. It is not good to be stressed all the time. And so I would say to people, even me, I mean, we all feel the effects of stress, to stop, breathe, and say, this is not okay. I need to do something different. I need to take a break. Let me step back. Let me, at least be aware of how I'm treating others. And then be okay with saying, I was wrong. I'm stressed. I need to regroup. And companies need to be okay with that. Schools need to be okay with that. So I think in this country, we've done ourselves a disservice through the guise of capitalism that we got to be at it. We got to go at it hard all the time. And if you're not, you know, 1,000% in and killing it all the time, then something's wrong with you. No, if you're up on, if you're amped up that much all the time, actually something is wrong with you and you need to step back and calm down. And so I think that's the biggest thing.
I definitely see that misconception about stress in my work all the time. And it kind of builds up because we have such a distraction-oriented culture. Friend Sean talked a little bit about this, how we have such a massive entertainment industry that's really oriented around distracting you from being with yourself.
I mean, people don't want to deal with themselves. The hardest thing to do is sit in a room by yourself with no phone. For a lot of people, especially Americans, to deal with ourselves is not something, generally speaking, that we're used to doing. And the pandemic really forced the situation. So I think that what happens is if your entertainment and your connection is always through a screen, the problem is all the filters that have to happen before you get to that screen is not authenticity. And that to me is the crux of the mental health crisis, is that we're now suddenly aware of how inauthentic we are as a people and how big of a problem that is.
We've talked a lot about what the problem is. What these mental health experts really want you to know, though, is that there are individual solutions. Friend Sean and Taisha have 5 for you. Number 1, your mind is like your car.
I wish people knew, especially in Carteret County and honestly all over, that caring for your mental health is extremely important and it's natural. And that having mental health needs doesn't make you an outlier. It just kind of makes you like everyone else, because we're all affected by the things of this world, whether it's the news or the pandemic or hurricanes. And because a lot of people here in Carteret County are still dealing with the aftermaths of the last 2 hurricanes, that it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to say, you know what, I'm not in a great headspace right now. I need someone to talk to. It's kind of like washing your car. It's dirty. It needs to be cleaned. What do? We go get it cleaned. Well, we don't want our mind cluttered and dirtied and filled with negative thoughts. So whenever we need it, we need to go clean it out. We need to dump it off somewhere and have somebody help us process through it and then move on to our best selves. Just the way we present our car in its best state, we should be okay with presenting our mind in its best state.
Number 2. What are your bare minimums?
We need to consider mental health. Just like anybody that has a mouth and has some teeth, they need to go to the dentist. Same kind of concept. And also, just keeping with that metaphor, like, not everybody is a dentist, but everybody knows about brushing your teeth. Right? Like, everybody knows the basics. Not saying everybody does it, but everybody knows the basics, okay? So my whole thing is, like, everybody should know the basics of mental health. And then also practice. Just like it doesn't help you to meditate and think about brushing your teeth, what helps you is when you actually do it, that helps you maintain dental health. Same thing with mental health. Like, you need to find the thing that helps you maintain your mental health, and you need to do it daily. There's certain things that I do for my mental health no matter what. No matter how many pandemics, no matter how many people have died today, no matter how many phone calls I've gotten, there are certain things that I do to make sure that I'm okay. And I've had to cultivate those things and practice them throughout my lifetime. And I think everybody should be doing that. And everybody should be, we should all help each other to figure out what your things are. Like, my thing is walking my dog, going on a rainbow walk, and praying. Those are my bare minimums. What are your bare minimums? Like, you know, and we talk about it.
Number 3, make your home your place of peace.
You deserve to have peace. Not only at work or, you know, in your social settings, but especially at home. You need to be able to come home and have some level of peace, because home is where you're supposed to rejuvenate and renew yourself before you go back out into the world to make things happen. It should be a place where you enjoy your children and are not necessarily stressed out forever by them, right? You shouldn't pull up to your house and not want to go inside. Even if clothes are everywhere and dishes are everywhere, you still should have some desire to go home. And so oftentimes when we're extremely stressed outside the world, we bring that into our house. So the stress levels are just as high. We're going to have to be okay with saying, I need to have a place where I go to calm down, to relax, to rejuvenate, so I can go back out and tackle whatever is before me in the world.
Number 4, make a plan. This will be your blueprint.
The best way to get through the toughest of situations is with a plan. And so you either sit down with someone who is very close to you and a trusted friend or confidant, and you make out a plan, because plans help avoid crisis. And so, and if we can do anything to eliminate the possibility of crisis in our life, then we feel better. And so anxiety is typically tipped up because we don't know what's going to happen. And then we get scared because we don't know how to handle things that may not happen and what's going to go on. And so our anxiety gets amped up over the unknowns. And so if we put a plan down, if we make a plan, if we say, okay, if not A, then B, if not B, then C, and oh, shoot, I might have to jump all the way to Z. But with a plan in place, we feel a little bit more confident to tackle what goes on in our lives on a daily basis.
And finally, number 5. Take an adult time out.
I have seen a tick up with parents. They're stressed. They don't know how to handle it because they feel like if they say something, then they're showing a weakness. When the truth is, it's strong of you to ask for help and say, I need to check in and take a break so I can be the best employee, the best parent, the best friend you need me to be. Me as a parent, I can get stressed and I can get angry with my kids. I mean, kids are lovely, lovely people, but they can stress you sometimes, just like you can get stressed at your job. And when I feel like I have gone too far, I am willing to say, look, I'm sorry. I was stressed. I was tired and I need to take a moment. Give me a moment. Let me at least get over the happenings of my work day. Let me switch hats and then focus on this. So we have to be okay with saying, I am not in a good place, or I am struggling right now. And I do need to delegate some of these services. My kids are old enough. You can wipe off the table. You can put the clothes in the dryer, whatever the case be, just to help me, you know, get through that moment. I still have to step back and say, okay, this is not a good moment. Give me 20 minutes, give me 50 minutes, give me an hour, but I need my adult time out.
I love these tips. We wanted to make sure that we gave you mental health solutions that are immediately within your control. But of course, we can't talk about mental health and not about work. Franchon counsels organizations who are trying to become healthier employers. We asked her what she's seeing now. What would this look like in Carteret County?
So I think, you know, if I got to run a media company, my dream would be, let's talk about how the landscape of the workplace is changing and how if you are going to be successful and really, truly continue to run big organizations, you are going to have to change. You're going to have to. And you're going to have to change the way that you treat employees. You're going to have to change what you prioritize. You're going to have to change what you ask from them and what you pay them. And that's just the reality of the situation. And some organizations were doing that before the pandemic and continue to evolve and change and continue to make stable, good money. And other organizations are like, no, we're holding on to, you know, to the old ways by our last straw. And I'm like, listen, you're not going to make it. Like, you're not going to make it because your workforce is retiring. I think it's the same pitfalls when we saw, like, attempted just social justice movements, which is statements, right? So we make statements that we prioritize wellness, and maybe we have a 5K challenge, and that's our idea of prioritizing wellness. Like, and I'm just like, oh, okay. And then those same organizations, to be fair, will call me and say, hey, Franchon, can you come be a keynote speaker? And I'm like, sure, what are we talking about? And they're like, wellness. And I'm like, okay, cool. Are we going to talk about the stress, anxiety, and trauma over the past 2 years? And they're like, no, you're not allowed to talk about that. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm not the person for you. It's not that they intentionally want to hurt their employees or they intentionally want to deprioritize what's important for their people. It's not that. It's that they really don't know how to have authentic conversations and how to create management people, like managers that know how to manage people of different generations and different priorities and different ethnicities working on the same team. It's not that they don't care about those things. They do. They just don't know what to do about it.
So employers need to move beyond the talk. But what is one way employers are actually putting this into practice?
Oh my gosh, hybrid work week. So 1 week you're on site 3 days and you're off site 4 days. And then the other week you swing. So you switch. So this way, because what they've learned is that people really want a hybrid and people really want flexibility. Also have productivity requirements to be measured by job, not measured by logging on and off. But it used to be like you had to be logged on. And of course there were monitors to monitor that you were online and you were at your computer working. And for families that just wasn't working, like they needed to step out and get their kids. They needed to go do this. They needed to go do that. But they were producing, right? Like they were getting stuff done. So this company was like, okay, we're throwing productivity requirements out. But we are requiring jobs. Like you have this job to do and you have this project and you have this deadline. And like, as long as you make this deadline, give or take this amount of time, like all is well. If you don't do that, then there's disciplinary action, which to me totally makes sense because now we're treating people like adults and letting them manage their own schedule and manage their own time. And for some people, that means they're working at 1, 2, or 3 o'clock in the morning because that's what's convenient for their life. Because they're taking care of their kids or they're taking care of their loved ones or they needed to quarantine or whatever it is they needed to do. Like they're having that flexibility to do that. And what happens is their job satisfaction now increases because now they have basically their dream job because the only thing they were missing previously was flexibility.
It is crystal clear to the people working in the mental health field that we cannot bear the burden of this crisis alone.
I want my state, my county, to get into the habit of putting plans in place before the events happen. I know they do in some, with some situations, it definitely needs to be done when it comes to mental health. It has to be a system approach when it comes to helping people address their mental health. It does me no good to get a child to a place where they are absolutely doing better, feeling better about themselves, feeling better that they can handle their anxiety. And then they go back home to a house that's totally chaotic because nobody's helping the parents with their needs. If our children are healthy, they're probably coming from healthy families. Healthy families build healthy communities. Healthy communities produce healthy employees. Our local businesses are healthy. And we're building strong, resilient communities so that when things like pandemics and hurricanes hit, we have a level of cohesiveness in place that keeps us moving forward. We may get knocked back, maybe get knocked down, but we're not knocked out. There's no way we're going to wipe out every pandemic. There's no way we can stop hurricanes from coming and things of the sort. But there is a way that we can say, okay, we have a plan and these are the resources we use to implement that plan when those things happen.
Franchon says it really does come back to connection.
Like we know how to come together already. And I think that's because especially the communities of color, the African-American communities, the Native American communities, lovely people, like we're not new to this. And we just need to really get creative about what that is and what that looks like. But by definition, resilience, a part of it is connection.
As this episode comes to a close, we know you might have an inclination to go buy some bath bombs and self-help books, separating the actual concept of self-care from the self-care industrial complex can be challenging.
I would like everybody to start with what they think they need. Because what happens is people go look externally, like all these self-help books and oh my gosh, all these things. And I'm just like everybody tells me I should do all that. I don't do any of it. And the reason why people ask is because they want to do that. But the thing is, self care is just, it's in the word, self. So it starts with you and you being honest with yourself about what it is that you need. And if that is more information about God and you need to go to church more often, then that's what it is. If that is, I want to learn about exercising, then that's what it is. If that is, I need to dance it out and listen to music once a day and it has nothing to do with no one, then that's what it is. Like, you need to spend time with you first. And then all these other plethoras of options that people are offering is absolutely wonderful and supplemental, but it starts with you.
That was Taisha Teal, Franchon Francis, and Kim Morris. I am Sharisa Elliott. You have been listening to Shoresides. Learn more about our work at www.shoresides.org. Shoresides is a project of the nonprofit Narrative Arts, serving the coastal region and beyond.